Good evening and welcome to the regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting for Morro Bay. Tonight is Tuesday, September 17th. We're at the Veterans Memorial Building at 209 Surf Street. And you're all welcome to come down. We have a full complement here tonight, so I'll establish quorum and call the meeting to order. At this time, could we please have a moment of silence? Thank you. Please rise, face the flag, and begin the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, does anybody have any announcements that they would like to make? Okay.
Just a little quick one that I just heard about today. Saturday at the Morro Bay Library in the parking lot from 10 to 12 is a children's art show and sale. The kids make all their own little arts and crafts things. They're range in age, I think, from 4-year-olds up to 17. And I think they have some limit on the cost, like everything's under $8, something like that. Last year was the first year they did it, so this is the second time. And so I hope everybody who's listening out in TV land goes out and supports the kids. It's a great experience for them to create their stuff and sell it and learn about making change and making money and all that good stuff. So this coming Saturday at the library.
Joseph?
And I'm reminded that the Morro Bay Open Space Alliance will have their third annual block party on Cerrito Place at the base of Eagle Rock, Cerrito Peak. At guided tours of the short climb to the top of the peak, of various exhibits by conservation groups, beer and wine party, activities for the kids, hot dogs. Should be a good time, so I invite everyone to come out to it.
When is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. On Saturday, the 21st, from 2:30 to 6.
Okay. At this time, we set aside time for public comment. This is for any items not on the agenda, or those items on the consent calendar. Anybody wishing to come forward? Okay, seeing none, we will close public comment. So now's the consent calendar. Does anybody wish to pull in any items or have any discussion on it? Jesse?
I don't wish to pull it, but I have a question. Okay. Is this the right time?
Yeah.
Scott, I was only wondering, in there, I didn't see, or maybe it escaped my glance, but the cannabis folks, are they going through the same process, or are they going through a separate process?
They're going through a separate process. They won't be permitted through the Planning Commission. They're under Title V, which is our licensing section, basically, business licensing section. I was actually working today on the permits. We're going to be licensing two and about 3/4 of the way, maybe a little further through the putting together the initial permit, and then I'll send it off to the city attorney's office to have him review it, and then we'll issue the license, and they'll probably be coming in with their TIs and that type of thing.
That's what I was wondering about. So, I mean, the building department still will permit TIs like normal?
Yeah, they'll go through building. They haven't submitted to us yet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything else? Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay, call the question. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, 5-0, motion passes. So now we move on to public hearings. This is item B1, case number CPO-573 and UPO-526, located at 361 Main Street. Do we have any ex parte communications? All right. Can we have a staff report?
Yes, we do. Done by Nancy, but she's actually not here, so I'm going to be presenting on her behalf tonight. So with that said, hello and good evening, residents of Morro Bay and commissioners. This item before you is a request for a coastal development permit and conditional use permit for an addition to 361 Main Street, a duplex residential property subject to the bluff setback requirements and within the Coastal Commission appeals jurisdiction. The existing 30,897 square foot lot sits between Main Street and Embarcadero. The lot is zoned R2 PD with two existing homes on the site, one built in 1957 and one built in 1972. The project in discussion tonight is in addition to the home built in 1972. On Main Street, the properties in this neighborhood are set back and screened from the street view by a grove of trees. And from the Embarcadero, you can see the mix of both remodeled and older homes. The existing bluff, as seen in this photo, has been altered over the years by different developments and created this new visual character for the project that fits with this project. Sorry, misspoke. The zoning of this project site is duplex residential with a planned development overlay. The existing home is non-conforming because it sits within the bluff buffer. Because of the existing non-conformity and that the project is in a PD overlay, the proposed addition requires a conditional use permit. The project also requires a coastal development permit as it is located in the Coastal Commission appeals jurisdiction and the addition is greater than 10% of the home's existing square footage. The existing home and proposed addition meet all the standards set forth in the R2 PD zone. However, the nonconformities of the home are related to the bluff buffer restrictions, which I will discuss in the next slide. The bluff assessment report from Earth Systems determined the top of bluff, the 20-foot bluff buffer, and the 50-foot bluff buffer. The existing home currently sits within this buffer and has a max height of has an existing maximum height of 22.12 feet, where 17 feet is normally required. The proposed addition will be outside of the bluff buffer, and it will meet all applicable height standards for the zone. As you can see in this image, the blue shaded portion is the addition consisting of an office area and master suite that will remain outside of the 50-foot bluff buffer. The second story deck will be under the required height limit and outside of the 20-foot bluff buffer. It's a mouthful. According to the bluff height requirements in the 20 to 50 buffer, 14 feet is allowed or up to 17 feet with a 4 and 12 pitched roof. So you can see that here, that the existing goes a little above that. And this image, or while the existing home is non-conforming, the new addition will meet these requirements as it is outside of the bluff buffer, so it can go up to the maximum height for that zone. This image shows the floor plan of the proposed addition. Here you can see the proposed master suite, the proposed office area, and the new second story deck. Lastly, here's an image of the existing home and proposed project. The addition, as designed, will match the architectural styles, materials, and colors of the existing home. Therefore, it is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission approve Coastal Development Permit CP0573 and Conditional Use Permit Number UP0526 pursuant to the findings and conditions of approval included in Planning Commission Resolution 23-19. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have any questions for staff?
Just one question.
Yeah.
The history of the height limitation violation, did the construction of the house predate the city ordinance or was it simply, anybody know how it happened, come about?
Well.
I'm unclear. It might predate it. I'm not sure if it does or not. Maybe the architect, since he's here, could answer the question.
Okay. It, Any other questions for staff?
I have one question.
Okay, Jesse.
Since this isn't Coastal Commission appealable, would it be likely to be overturned on appeal given the nonconformity of the existing residence and the percentage percentage addition of the proposed project?
I mean, really the standard is our ordinance allows you to expand nonconforming structures as long as that expansion meets all requirements. That's the situation here, so it would be compliant with our code. Our code is the implementation plan for our local coastal program. So this project is consistent with that. So there would be no reason for the Coastal Commission to take this on appeal or find substantial issue.
I have a question about the deck.
Okay.
Seeing as it sets in the bluff top, over the bluff top in the buffer zone, mm-hmm. And I don't think it would be it's a raised deck. I don't think it'd be allowed to be built today. Would it be allowed to be built the way it is now, or would it?
If I understand correctly, the deck is actually meeting the bluff height requirement as designed in that buffer zone because it's 17 feet with 4 and 12 pitched or 14 flat.
But aren't decks only allowed into the buffer if they're at grade level and less than 30 inches above grade? It seems like that's a raised deck.
Second story decks, I believe, are like a top of railing is allowed to go all the way up to the height limit.
Correct.
Okay, so you can build a raised deck over the 20-foot buffer zone.
It also goes above the residence. Sorry.
No, not the,
yeah, no. I mean, so you could build structure in that. You could build so the house could be single level in that location, and depending on the pitch of the roof inside that front buffer, it could be between 14 and 17 mm-hmm. feet in height.
Yeah, but not within 20 feet of the bluff top. If you look on the plan, there's a 20-foot and a 50-foot.
The deck is outside of the 20-foot buffer.
The existing deck, on the west side.
The proposed
is
deck.
That. Am I
right? That deck is not proposed to be changed.
Okay, would that be allowed today?
The proposed deck is here's a 20-foot.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the existing deck.
Technically, nothing's allowed in the.
Oh, I see. Deck.
So you have.
You can have stairs in the buffer. And there are some other things that you can have. I think you can have stairs and flat work and some other things.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the code is.
My understanding of that is that if you had significant structural repairs that were just because of the desire of the homeowner, they weren't structurally necessary for the safety of the home, that you're not supposed to do structural repairs short of that.
Right.
But they're not touching it, so.
Yeah, that's correct.
Exists okay. Legal nonconforming, I would assume.
Yeah.
It seems like this would be the only time we'd have a chance to address that. That the deck is built into past the 20-foot buffer area, the existing deck there. So if it was going to be included in the remodel as reconditioning it, then we should address it at this point.
It's not part of the request, though.
Okay. Great. So at this point, we'll open up for public comment. Would the applicant like to come forward?
Thank you, Commission. Chris Parker, the architect. Thank you for reviewing this project. This existing structure is a smaller house, one bedroom, has some site constraints basically on all four sides of it almost. You got the bluff to the west. You have the existing residence to the north, along the side property line to the south. And then it's basically an entry courtyard with the detached garage to the east of the residence. But with that, it sits on an interesting parcel within town. The front of the residence isn't visible from the street, but rather the rear of the residence has the visibility from Tylands Park below. So with that, we worked within the constraints, trying to utilize the existing footprint as much as possible. To place the addition of a bedroom and a bathroom. We're trying to keep within the existing residence's design and kind of maintain some of the similar wood siding, wood beams, and trying to minimize the appearance from the park, tucking it behind the existing residence as much as possible. As to the I'm not sure what the current code was. I think it was 1972 that that house was built. I'm not sure what the height restrictions were at that time.
That would have predated the existing code.
Okay. So with that, myself and the property owners are here to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Well,
thank you.
Would anybody else like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Michael?
Chris, did you look at any other roof strategies besides this one?
What we were trying to do is maintain the existing structure. So we looked at some different options on how to play with it and still have height in the bedroom. My plate height on the east end of that bedroom is 7 feet. So I was I was trying to work with the existing slope on the other side of the residence, basically, to play off of that. So it was partly, it was just trying to keep it in character with the rest of the structure. At one time, we had looked at doing a hip and some different things, but that was with a different layout. But it was a struggle to get a layout to work there with the existing residence next door and the other site restrictions.
That's all I've got.
Susan, anything? Joseph, any?
No.
Jesse? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chris. Okay, we'll close public comment at this point and bring it back to the commission. Comments? Discussion? Motions? Go.
I guess I have a little discussion. I mean, I couldn't get a good look at it. I drove by a couple different ways, and I just really couldn't see. I couldn't visualize it from where I my perspective, down on Tidelands and then up on Main. So I really can't offer a great opinion other than what the pictures that Willow's provided. And the only thing I would be concerned about would be appeals. But I just, if I couldn't see it, I can't imagine it would be a detriment to anybody else. That's my comments.
I thought it was a very nice melding of the old and the new. Again, you can tell from my question, my only concern was how the violation occurred, and you know that might have involved some notions of notice, and then we have to address that. But since apparently none does exist, it's not an issue, so I'm fine.
Michael?
Yeah, my only comment, I don't think it's a deal breaker or even a thing that'll make me vote against it, but with the roof in the front being 5 feet above the bluff restricted height, even if it's grandfathered, and then we're going higher above that with the new roof beyond, I think if you look in the packet at the difference between the two existing and new from the Embarcadero, you can see how much that height has brought the house up and blocked some of the trees. So I think you tend to see over the other buildings on the bluff edge a little bit more, and this is going to fill in that little gap that's in there pretty substantially. And again, it's within their rights. I think that's the main thing. But I think it would have been nice to offer the community back something to mitigate the higher elevation in the front. It's also a small house, and I think that's another thing. I think it's easier to forgive things that are out of whack on a small house because they're small. You see around them, you know, the massing is beautiful. I think Chris's design on this one is perfectly in keeping with the existing house. I think it's really nice, and I like the idea that the house is broken up into a courtyard. I think it's a beautiful plan. I think it's just that I would have liked somehow to have seen the roof down a bit, but I don't think it's a, if it was a larger home and we had more issues than that, I think I might be tempted to suggest a different, that was just my own concern when I saw the plans.
Susan?
I really don't have anything to add. I think it was, again, a really nice job of design. And I think, yes, it's nice to see something, not a McMansion being built, but a nice small family home. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, my sentiments also, the only thing I was concerned about was the encroachment into that restricted area on the bluff top with the raised deck on the west side. And seeing as this would be the only time we could remedy that or even comment on it. And so, Scott, if there's, is there any way that we can tag this to, as if there's structural changes on that, that it's going to be brought back to us or go through staff review?
I mean, if they were doing something, we'd have to take a look at it. We have differing bluff standards in this area along the bluff versus the area that's further down. In my recollection at the moment, and my commuter's not connecting to the internet for whatever reason, I can't remember exactly what all things are allowed there in the bluff setback area there. So, because you can have stairs and some other things, I just don't know what all of those are. So, I can't even speak to whether that's a specifically an allowed thing or not. In one area, it probably is, and this area it might not be. But certainly, if they were doing work, we'd have to take a look at it. So,
okay, yeah. Just as long as we can tag it somehow, so that. You know, that's my one concern on that, because I think we had another project right by there, and the decks had to be back behind that 20-foot setback area because they were raised. So that's memory, and like you, I can't be certain on that. So, yeah. Okay.
If I could add something to that. I mean, my experience with these bluff reports is they change. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get one from 83 that has the bluff at a different location than this firm found the bluff top to be at. So, I mean, I think it's entirely possible that this report has changed from whatever they built in 1972. So,
well, it also isn't weathering as much anymore, or, you know, we're not a coastal. It's not a bayfront bluff, which is because you have the Embarcadero in front of it now. So I don't think it's as critical as other sections. So in our bluff top zones. Okay, do we have a motion? We wish to approach it?
I move that we adopt resolution Planning Commission development permit CPO 573 and conditional use permit UPO 526.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, could you please call the question?
Yeah, can you confirm that the motion also approves resolution 23-19? Sorry. Oh.
Yes.
Okay, and the second confirms?
Yes.
Approves? Okay. Okay, please.
Okay, Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Commissioner Barone?
Aye.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Aye.
Chairperson Luhr?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Okay, moving on to item B2. This is case number CDP 19-033 and CUP 19-09. The site's located at 196 Panay Street. Well, I guess you're up on this one too.
All right. So we've got it loaded. Okay. So hello again. Good evening again. The second item that I have before you tonight is a request for a coastal development permit and conditional use permit for an addition to a non-conforming residence on Panay Street, including the addition of an accessory dwelling unit. So the zoning for this project is R1S2A outside of the appeals jurisdiction. The project is surrounded by R1 and S2 homes on the western, northern, and southern sides and by Highway 1 on the east. The existing site is a lot that fronts on Panay Street. It's technically two lots that front on Panay Street at this point in time and sits adjacent to Highway 1. The home currently expands over two lots. However, a merger will be required prior to issuance of building permit, and those are in the process right now as we speak. County records indicate that the existing single-family residence was constructed in 1963. The applicant proposes to construct a 1,120-square-foot addition, including the 330-square-foot accessory dwelling unit attached by a 208-square-foot roofed porch. The applicant is also proposing a 182-square-foot roof deck above the accessory dwelling unit and a 216-square-foot addition to the garage for workshop space. These are the zoning ordinance standards for the R1 S2A zone. The existing primary residence sits 13 feet and 2 inches from the front property line on Panay Street, where 15 feet is normally the requirement. And the detached garage sits 2 feet from the eastern side yard, where 1 foot is the requirement, and 5 feet from the existing residence, where 6 feet is normally the requirement for building separation. All of the other development standards for this project are met, both with the existing structures and the proposed addition. So the project is non-conforming, as I mentioned before, with regards to the front setback and the building separation between the existing detached garage and the primary residence. No work is proposed in this area of non-conformance, and the project will be required to obtain a building permit to ensure compliance with Title 14. The project will not impair the character of the zone, and lastly, major reconstruction would be required to make the project conforming to today's standards. Just touch on the parking requirement for accessory dwelling units. Pursuant to updates in California state law, parking is no longer required for ADU projects within a half mile of a transit stop, and it's been determined that all residences in Morro Bay are located within a half mile of a transit stop, therefore no additional on-site parking for the accessory dwelling unit is required. Just to touch on this again, prior to issuance of any building permit, the project will be required to merge the existing lots that the building exists over and complete the easement abandonment process through the Public Works Department, which is scheduled, I believe, for the next Planning Commission hearing. This is an image of the proposed site plan that shows the existing home and the additions in relation to the overall site. This includes the proposed addition to the primary residence, the addition of workshop space to the detached garage, the covered patio, and the proposed accessory dwelling unit in the back. This is an image of the photo simulation provided by the architect to show what the project would look like. I've also included elevations as seen from the street for reference. All residences in this neighborhood are required to stay below a height limit of 14 feet. And as the addition is on the back half of the lot and meets all development standards, staff has found the project compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. Sorry, we lost the PowerPoint here. Reloading. Oh. Oh, I thought about it.
Lost a place
sometimes.
Finicky.
A little further. Oh, okay. I got it. You're good. Which brings us to our residential design guidelines. The proposed project has been found to be consistent with the council-adopted residential design guidelines in the following ways. Relationship to existing homes in the neighborhood as the or relationship to existing home as the overall color scheme and design of the home will remain the same, besides the color scheme. Scale and mass, as the addition is limited to the back half of the lot and will not negatively impact the view from Panay Street or Highway 1, as the height limit is 14 feet. Surface articulation, as the proposed project will use consistent colors, materials, and design elements to ensure harmony between the primary residence and the proposed addition. Garage and driveway design, as the front entryway is the most pronounced feature on the front elevation. Building materials, as the proposed addition will use colors, materials, and design elements that blend the addition with the existing primary residence. Architectural elements, as the doors, windows, and other architectural features will be consistent on both the existing residence and the proposed addition. So with all that said, this item was noticed as required in the San Luis Obispo Tribune newspaper on the 6th of September, and the property owners and occupants of record within 500 feet were duly noticed and invited to attend tonight's meeting. Therefore, it is staff's recommendation that the Planning Commission conditionally approve coastal development number CDP-033 and conditional use permit number CUP-19-09, subject to the findings and conditions of approval outlined in Resolution 24-19. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for staff? Okay. Willa?
Yeah.
I didn't see a RIF plan with these, submitted with these plans. Did I miss it, or?
Like a structural RIF plan?
Yeah, just basically, you know, typically we have a RIF plan. One of the things I'm wondering about is where the deck is, and is it just over the covered patio? I didn't see it delineated, and I could have missed it on the plans. Yeah, I see it on the elevations, but I don't see it where it's delineated on either the site plan or the, you know, or a RIF plan.
Yeah, it looks like the extent isn't shown.
And then I also didn't see an elevation of the top at the top of the railing, which seems to be higher than the ridge line.
It looks like it matches the ridge line.
Yeah, so I just want to, it wasn't called out as far as I could see.
So it does go through that, it does cover that that breezeway patio thing, covered patio area. It goes from front to back. Looking at the elevations, if you look at the two southwest and northeast elevations.
Yeah, that's where I'm assuming it is, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's where it lays out here on the elevation drawings, and it shows up right on both sides.
And I've confirmed with the architect that it sits at 13.8.5, which is the same as the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
In an email correspondence.
Yeah, I didn't see the notation on that.
I was looking for my notes in here, sorry.
Elevations. All right. Any ex parte communications on this one? All right. At this point, we'll open it up for public comment. And would the applicant care to step forward?
Hi, good evening. I'm Leah McGee with MBS Land Surveys, and we're actually processing the merger and the PUE abandonment.
Could you pull the microphone a little bit closer?
Okay.
We have poor technology here.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
I cannot really add much to the architecture or answer very many architectural questions, but the landowners are here. And I was just helping the clients who actually live in Modesto facilitate their permit processing. And I thank staff for their help. They've been awesome. And I'll introduce Jay and Cindy.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
If you'd like to speak, please come forward.
Essentially, I just wanted to thank you guys for all of your help. You've been great to work with, and we really appreciate it.
Okay.
So I'm a contractor, and I deal with municipalities all the time, and a lot of them aren't as they're not really helpful. From the beginning of the process, it was Joan, I believe, that was with Willow and was trained, and Willow took over. She has been absolutely awesome, super helpful. There's never been anything but desire to work and be helpful. So we're super excited about coming here. This is our house that we're going to be living in. This isn't anywhere else. The house that we had in Modesto is being sold. We're looking forward to becoming part of this community. We've been following what you guys put up on websites about all the activities that are going on every weekend. We can't wait. I'm a fisherman, dying to get into the fisheries that are here. And the bottom line, again, is I just want to stress that Morro Bay, from the planning division and such, has been the best experience that we've ever had. Not that we haven't had difficulties, but we've been helped from the beginning to the end. To get to this process, I was actually a little bit intimidated, but she got us through this. It's just awesome. So all I can say is, what we're trying to do is build a house here, one that we can live in and stay here. So that's it. We're selling everything else, and we're moving to Morro Bay.
Well, welcome. Thank you. Would you mind staying forward in case we have any questions?
Sure.
Since we have no other people in the audience. Okay. Does anybody have any questions for the app?
I have.
had one question, and welcome to the community, and I think we ought to publish that whole thing. Let everybody know how wonderful it is to come to Morro Bay and
That's
build
right.
something, because we need good press here. Just curious about, and I, you know, it's maybe none of my business, but your ADU, so the additional little unit, looks sort of more like it's for the family than you would be having somebody non-family move in there? Is that?
No, nobody's going to be moving in there. What that is a room that people can access from the side, a position where they wouldn't have to deal with us if they didn't want to. We have a daughter at Cal Poly. We have another daughter that last year graduated from UCLA, and that would be for them to be able to come in and stay at their convenience.
Perfect.
In and out, come in, don't even have to see us, which is, you know, might be good for them. but the bottom line for us is because of the unusual lot size, we really enjoyed the idea of the observation deck, which many of the buildings have around our area. And the best way to do that is the design that we come up with. This is, we've gone through so many trying to fit this unusual footprint. It allows us to have a great deal of backyard, yet the piece of property, while unusual, is big compared to what else is in that area. So it's lend itself to what we plan to do, and that's a little garden here and some really nice landscaping. We're, again, really excited about having friends and family come in that can use that space. And that's what's driving that separation, is the observation deck for people to be able to use and that separate unit where they can just be on their own and by themselves.
I love that. I've got two grown kids, and I could see them having a place like that, especially maybe as grandchildren come along.
Well, our oldest just had her first date at 23, so we're real excited.
That's great. That's really exciting. Yeah, so anyhow, I like the look of the plan here for them as a family home. I think it's great.
Okay. Michael, any questions?
Yeah, I also want to welcome you and thank you for your optimism of all this. The one thing I was going to say is, you know, you're on Route 1, and that's kind of our front door for many folks that come to visit. And one of the unique things that you're having is you've got now probably one of the largest frontages along Route 1 with the side of the project. And they have very little room to do anything along the workshop side. That's a very tight space, and Caltrans has some plantings in there. But as you come around that corner onto, I can't remember what the name of the dead end street is off Route 1, where your new unit's built, there's actually quite a bit of area there. And the only thing I would say is I would feel I'm perfectly happy with what I see you doing architecturally. But I'd want to know what your intent is with the landscape, because it's so open to Route 1. There's a lot of things you could do there that we wouldn't ever
see. Is that on the other side of the fence in that big Caltrans area? Or?
Well, it's in the zone that you control. We can't ask you to do anything in the Caltrans zone, but the zone you control back there, I don't think we have any images from what it looks like from Route 1. But that's one of the things that we're asked to take care of for the city is that we responsibly develop things along Route 1 that raised that higher level of care to protect the community so that we don't have some eyesore back there. I mean, I'm not saying you're going to put up a three-story kiddie, you know, slide and things like that.
Well, it's monkeys.
Monkeys. I'm not sure what you want to do there. But, normally if we had a different I'm actually kind of surprised in a way we didn't see a landscape plan.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't require one, but also the area on the other side of that, there's a fence that runs along the property line there, and the area on the other side of it is Caltrans right-of-way, and Caltrans has landscaped it. Right. So all the landscaping that you see that's on that street frontage there on the corner that runs behind it is a very large, undeveloped right-of-way piece.
Right.
So this just sits behind it. Like anything they're going to plant in their yard is going to be screened by that.
I will add that we're planning to do a new fence, obviously, because the fence that's existing is, you know, not up to standard. And our
18 feet tall.
our younger daughter happens to be a landscape architect from Cal Poly, so we have
that. Yeah. Well, the only thing I was going to say is if I were you, and I'm not, but I'd put something there that's a separator from Route 1. It's going to be very loud, and that's the private area, including your deck now. And I would put something in there that would give you the maximum privacy and least amount of visual penetration into your lot. It's almost like I would advocate, not require or ask to see, but I would advocate that you try to screen your whole lot along that fence line with some kind of low tree that screens out Route 1 from your house, and that gives you the capacity to do whatever you want there without feeling Route 1's a little elevated there.
That is the one part of that particular lot that wasn't ideal for us. Yeah. We have lived on a freeway before, but mm-hmm. it was in Pleasanton, and it had an actual masonry wall that was very, very tall. Mm-hmm. Here I understand with the people that are on the other side of the highway that they actually, you know, want to see the beach. We want to see the beach, and we're not interested in blocking them at all.
Yeah.
So with any kind of a hedge or whatever, we're excited about the opportunity of being able to do that and doing it in such a way that does afford us, because we know what we bought. We know that this is an issue. And yes, with the current construction, single pane windows inside the house, you can actually hear it. We're going to live there. So we're talking about double pane, a little thicker glass, insulation in the walls, all the different things, including whatever it is that we can do legally. Heights and such. There's a what's the one with the where you can train them into squares?
Well, I was actually thinking of photinia trees that are hedges, but you can trim them up
so
to a higher height.
It goes up to the height of the fence, and then you can train them into squares, and you just have those all set next to the other. It's just one of the things that we've
one
been
option.
Thinking about to please, do it. Now, until we get in there.
Please talk into the mic,
I'm
or else
sorry.
It's not recorded.
Until we get in there and find out how much money we're going to have left over, because meeting with the four general contractors that we did today, we got a little reality check. But the bottom line is that we want to start as soon as possible, as soon as it's all said and done, mm-hmm. and end up with that. And we're, again, super excited and deal with that. But mm-hmm. that might not be in the initial construction move-in. That's probably going to be part of what we do over the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's my only question.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just, again, welcome, and I really appreciate what I'm hearing. So,
no. Yeah. And then just a comment I would have is on those, the walls that are exposed to Highway 1, I suggest you probably upgrade to a spray foam, especially a closed cell foam. That'll really give you a lot of sound rating in the existing walls, which could help.
That was recommended by the general contractors that we met with today. So that was a thing we wrote down, and definitely are going to do that.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. We'll bring it back to the commission. Did you have a question? Yeah, please.
If I can ask staff one question. I guess I just kind of perused through it quickly and didn't realize the eastern side yard setback is only at 2 feet. So is that a standard?
So the detached garage requirement is only 1 foot on side setbacks. So they're meeting that by over a foot, or by a foot.
Okay, so does that mean that I get to ask my infamous question? Does that mean it's fire sprinkler because it's less than 3 feet to the property line?
Do you want?
Fire reviewed it, and no, there's not a requirement to fire sprinkler. No.
But we have a... Don't we have a non-conforming separation between the existing garage and the residence? So
we
it should
do.
Be 6 feet, and it's 5 feet?
So the last time that this happened, there was a requirement on the project that fire would take another look at it at the building permit stage and do an assessment as to whether any other fire safety mitigations were required, such as sprinklers or hour-rated walls. That was something that was done in the past. So I don't know if that's
okay.
Okay, I think that might be a good thing to tag this with.
Yeah, take another look at table 302-1 out of CRC. It'll talk about property lines. And I was just wondering if it was different because it was Highway 1 on the other side rather than an adjacent property owner. The other question I had, and this is kind of a more of a forward, looking forward, I mean, I realize that, you know, we're dealing with the ordinances as they exist today, but Scott, would it be your opinion in the future, as of January 1st, would this be, because of the attachment of that ADU with that covered patio, would this be a type of project that would get sprinkled throughout?
It would get sprinkled anyway, because we're reducing the amount of square footage that you can add on to a structure. To triggering the sprinkler requirements.
Okay.
So that brings up the question on the separation, because it's is that connected with the deck area? Is that connected to the?
The garage is completely detached. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, but the ADU would be attached because of the covered patio and that.
Right.
Yeah. Correct.
Correct.
Right.
Done. Yeah, it was purposely done.
Okay. Okay. Do we have any? We had questions, any comments, or
I have a couple comments. Just out of principle, not in this case, but I would say we should be very cautious about encouraging lot combinations. You know, the idea of having two lots that could have two houses that have two accessory dwelling units. We've taken four units and turned it into potentially one. You know, so when we're looking at lower cost housing and things like that, I really don't want to advocate combining lots. This is a really problematic lot, though, because that one that they want to combine with is I'm not sure we could ever get a good driveway into that area, and you know, that's a problematic street that doesn't go all the way through to the beach block streets. So I think this is a really special case where I'm going to say I think this is a good use of the lot combination. But I think that's in general we should be very cautious about that. It can affect down zones. The capacity of the build out, and I don't think we want to do that. Yeah. But I like what I see. I do think I'm surprised. I guess in a way, I'd say an item for later is I'd really want to talk about having landscape plans when we go along Route 1. It seems to me like we had a lot of landscape issues when we were down in the gap where the surfers like to use, where we had the two houses built.
It's a very good point, Commissioner Lucas. And as the Planning Commission may recall, we've included that into the draft zoning code requirements, is to have landscape plans for all submittals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talk about this every meeting.
No, I think it's a good plan, though.
Okay, Susan.
You know, I don't remember what's the maximum size now allowed for an accessory dwelling unit.
So 1,200 square feet or 50% of the existing residence's square footage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was thinking, you know, into the future, we may be seeing, in the not too distant future, additions to accessory dwelling units to make them larger, and then all the attendant things associated with that, larger family units and more cars and all that. Not that we'll have too much to say about it, but it's worth considering where that's going.
Jesse?
I think it's a very good use of the lots. I'm pleased with what I see generally. Doing what I do for a living, I always get stuck in safety and things like that first responders. So what I would encourage you, if I'm sure the city's going to put some requirements on you, but maybe go above and beyond and make it very evident how someone would access, the first responders would access that back unit. Mm-hmm. In the event somebody called 911 and we had to get back there in a hurry. I would encourage you to make it very evident to them how they would get back there quickly and respond to somebody having an emergency in the back zone.
We do make sure that when we have ADUs that we have address points into our GIS layers, and that information is also conveyed to our dispatch folks so that ADUs are accounted for. And that the addresses are on the front of the building as well.
Sure, I just wanted to impress upon them that the maintenance of that and keeping that very visible and you know, the importance of doing that in the future as these ADUs become more prevalent and you know, our first responders and our Domino's Pizza delivery guys have more and more trouble finding these places. So
well, that's what drones are invented for. And then it's got, my understanding, that was an easement. It wasn't a certified lot that was abandoned.
It's So there's easements, okay, well, there's easements across where the proposed addition is, and then it's two lots kind of split down the middle also.
So that was had its own APN then for that lot? That's being abandoned.
I think there was a lot line adjustment at some point in the past done or something along those lines. And I believe there's one APN in two lots.
Okay.
I also believe that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason I read it as an easement.
Their surveyor's actually here. You could ask them a question if you really want to know.
Okay. I don't see it as a problem, so either way. But I just wanted to clarify. All right. Then do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt Coastal Development Permit CDP 19-033 and Conditional Use Permit CUP 19-09. And is there another? Oh, there it is. Planning Commission Resolution 24-19 for the approval of this project.
Okay,
I'll second.
Okay, discussion? The only thing I'm probably late in bringing it up, but do we want to talk about, furniture on that deck?
I guess one of the things is, Willow, is this in one of our standard conditions? I don't have it lit up right now, but we should have a standard condition that we put on that reminds people that there is no permanent construction above the rail height. So nobody takes a wood-burning fireplace up there with a large stack or leaves their umbrella up there opened up, or two umbrellas, or that's the problem that's going to be down the line as we see more of the larger, higher decks.
We could add that condition.
We'd need to go back.
You do agree, somebody to
amend the motion?
Friendly amendment, and then you all agree.
I would move we add that amendment to the motion.
So you need Jesse to accept it because you made the motion, and then
I don't know if I agree.
Okay. Well, you need to make it come forward.
And the reason, respectfully would disagree, only because the enforcement of that would seem to be rather restrictive to the folks that are now having to apply for this when, their next door neighbor may have the same roof deck and might not have the same requirements. So, I get what you're saying and I agree. I just would not like for these folks to have not be able to put umbrellas up when their neighbors are and it be enforceable in differing fashion.
Temporary umbrellas are fine. It's the continual accumulation of satellite dishes above the roof height limit, People put landscaping up there that goes above the roof height limit. We've got a roof height limit there because of a view corridor issue. And so if we default to non-building things taking up the view corridor, I think it's a mistake, especially along Route 1. We want to keep as much of the view possible through there. So that's the only reason I want to protect the...
Yeah, we also have an issue of, we have 40 to 50 mile an hour winds that go through there. So, any items above the roof deck, will become airborne.
Well, like I said, I don't disagree with the notion. I kind of disagree with the differential implementation of differing requirements for neighbors. Scott, do you have a solution for this? I mean, is this something we can...
Well, we've placed the condition on other projects more recently. Mm-hmm. I can't recall what we did in relation to this. Or whether we had something discussed for our draft zoning code, I don't remember. I actually made a note here to go look. I don't know whether that's something that we'd be bringing forward, permanently, but if not, then that's probably one of the items we need to add to it. So I said Planning Commission in more recent times has added that condition to projects. We just didn't put it in here from a staff standpoint.
We typically add it when the deck is close to building height.
If you guys think it's appropriate, I'll concede.
Okay. So. Joseph, you had something to say?
Well, I was just going to suggest that we limit it to fixtures and to landscaping and sort of let the issue of somebody's umbrella and an umbrella stand, leave that to the homeowner to deal with in terms of if it's a safety issue. But fixtures seems to incorporate a lot of things that are permanent, and landscaping, we want to make sure that, some cute little plant doesn't grow to 10 feet in the course of years, so.
Yeah, I would even, I would tend towards including furniture you know, which would be movable. You know, mostly I'm concerned about it, you know, expanded umbrellas when we get our Santa Ana winds that go through there. So, you know, furniture and so even temporary. I don't think anybody's going to complain about a barbecue, you know, but.
Well, I'll amend my motion to have staff devise an appropriately worded condition that would take care of Commissioner Lucas's concern.
So to confirm, it's movable furniture, landscaping, and any kind of permanent fixtures?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and then does the second concur?
I'll concur.
Okay, so we have a first, we have a motion and a second, an amended motion and a amended second. Any discussion on this item, on the amendments? Okay, could you, Willow, call the question, please?
Yes. Commissioner Lucas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Ingraffia?
Aye.
Chairperson Lohr?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay. All right, thank you guys very much. And Scott, I do think that if we didn't bring that up in the on the new zoning, I think we need to note that for discussion.
Highlighted in my notes.
All right.
Okay. I guess my only point I would make is if we're gonna ask these folks to do that, I think we should ask everybody to do it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Chairperson Lohr was suggesting, is that, and that's why I broached the subject. I said I know we've talked about this in the past. It's been so long since we looked at zoning. It's been over a year that I didn't recall whether that was one of the things that needed was in there or not. And I thought that it should be. So that was kind of where I was going with that. I was going to go research it to see if it's in there. And if it's not, then that'll be one of the ads that we put in.
I know we can't get into a discussion on that, but my concern is when it's at the building height limit, you know, or above, you know, if it's a second story deck and you still have a, you know, 10 feet of, you know, allowable height there, I don't think it's as critical because you're usually going to have a building backstopping these items. And it's also, you know, we have a building height limit for view considerations, and so I think we need to be consistent with that.
Yeah, too. I mean, just in the enforcement, just the, you know, right. These code enforcement folks have a tough job, and you know, trying to figure out who can and who can't, and you know, it's a tough job. So
yeah, and it's usually only going to be enforced if somebody irritates their neighbors.
So. Well, and in this case, they don't really have neighbors who are going to be looking past them towards the ocean. They just have the highway and all the ugly Caltrans stuff along there. So almost anything they do is going to be better looking than what Caltrans does. Well, so.
Until they tear the buoy down and put a two-story hotel right there. You know,
All right. New business, we have none. Unfinished business, we have none stated. Planning commissioners' comments and future agenda items. Any suggestions? Okay.
I have one question for Scott. Maybe I'm trying in my blur of forgetfulness to think. Have we had a meeting with council? Are we to do that at some point?
You have not had a meeting with council. They didn't do that this time around through the goal setting process. Not sure exactly why. I have talked to a couple of council members about it. The council has also taken up the, we have a council subcommittee that's taken up the review of our commission and committee policies. And so they'll be doing that, and possibly out of that process, there might end up being a meeting. I think since we didn't do it this last year, they should probably, you know, work to doing it next year. I think it's important for the city council to meet with the planning commission to help, you know, kind of when you're leading up to goals, to help focus on what we, you know, are doing next. I mean, it's one thing for me to bring items to them, but it's not quite another thing to have the planning commission, you know, talk about things that you see, and it gives you an opportunity to talk with them. And we've done that in the past, but again, more recently, that was not what happened. So again, changes in city council members and changes in city managers and things like that sort of change processes sometimes. So.
Anything new with Sonic Burger? I'm sorry, but mostly I was thinking with the Grill Hut leaving, could we say, hey, here's a building for you, and they could go in there?
So I don't know where they're at. This is, you know, I mean, it's been
years.
9 months since we've heard from them last, which is maybe even a little bit longer than that. Cindy could correct me if she were here. This has been the way they've been doing business. I mean, they started this process before I started working here. That tells you anything. So and I've been over 5.5 years plus. So I don't know. They seem to get interested when they're in plan check and ask us questions, and then we give them comments back, you know, and then we don't hear from them for a very long time. That was the same process we went through when they went through planning. We would give them comments back, and then they would go away. We wouldn't hear from them for 6-9 months, and they'd come back. And so it took a very long time to get it to Planning Commission, and then the plan check process has just been excruciatingly long as well. So I'm not sure what their scoop is. We talk to them every once in a while. Cindy sends them emails every once in a while. You know, they did extend their permit a little while ago, their planning permits, so they didn't expire. I think they're still good for another, it's a little less than a year now, I think, that will expire. So they need to get on it, but no, haven't heard from them.
Okay, Scott, do you have any other comments then?
No, not at this point. No, I don't.
Okay. So I guess at this point, we'll adjourn to the next regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting here at the Veterans Memorial Building, 209 Surf Street, on October 1st, 2019 at 6 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
I probably should have asked this, but the next Tuesday is election day. Is that going to be a problem?
Next Tuesday?
The next
The November.
Is there next election?
Do we have an election this year? No.